I'd like to now ask His Holiness Satchinandan Swami to give us some summary of his presentations and help us keep what he's given us this week with us throughout the year.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskachyade Satarine.
Hare Krishna, I would like to make my presentation brief and concise and concentrate on two points. I would like to give you a little summary of the Bhakti, of the seminar called the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas, and then I would like to encourage you to take a few points home. The easiest way for me to give a summary of the Bhakti Rasayana Shloka is by sharing with you a deep question which I developed in my own spiritual life and an answer which I received. The question became very urgent at one stage of my spiritual life, and I guess it's still there, is how can I become more absorbed in Krishna consciousness and really do the activities which I do with a deep sense of feeling that I'm doing them for Lord Krishna. It may seem to be a simple point, dear someone who wants to become more absorbed and who wants to do what he does for Lord Krishna, but I was in a state where I really wanted to experience that this is done for Lord Krishna. And it happened in Udupi one morning. I had just seen that beautiful Udupi Krishna, a deity which is the deity of Madhvacharya, a deity of little boy Krishna. And I was sitting in a corner of the temple chanting my rounds, and I felt that I don't have a deep relationship to this wonderful personality who was worshipped on the altar. At that time, something very nice happened. Cows were led into the temple. I was thinking, how wonderful. And the cows were then, I followed along with the cows. The cows were brought to the area or the entrance where the pujari enters the altar room. And I was also going there and remaining there. And I saw how the cows very lovingly went towards Udupi Krishna, Krishna the cowherd boy. They seemed to know each other, and one cow happily passed her cow heap before Udupi Krishna. It was deity. It was very nice and lovingly, and the priests didn't mind, nor did Udupi Krishna mind. It was just a very happy, very personal cow herding scene. Krishna is happy when his cows behave naturally and without any ado, like family members with him. And I noticed that right before my eyes, a very intimate, loving scene was going on. Krishna, the cowherd boy, was greeting his cows, and the cows were very happily, and one very happily expressed her happiness by producing what later would become a cow dung paddy for Lord Krishna to cook his milk. So it was very nice, and I felt, I laughed, and I was very happy. And then I sat down again on in the corner to chant my rounds, and the pain which I had felt a little bit before the scene seemed to become double as big. The cows have a better relationship than you. What is your relationship to Lord Krishna, and how can you become more absorbed and make this practice, the chanting, a loving call for the Lord? At that time, something very nice happened. The loudspeaker, which is my dreaded enemy all over in India, you know, when you want to absorb yourself and you hear these far out songs, Sannyasi Come Home and other such classics over the Indian loudspeaker, it is not always very favorable for your meditation. But at this time, the loudspeakers were singing the different there was a song of the different names of Lord Krishna, almost like the wonderful song Vibhavari Shesha, Aloka Pravesha, that, oh Krishna, you are Chitahari, you steal the consciousness of your devotees. You are Yashoda Nandana, the beloved son of Yashoda. You are the cowherd boy who wields his stick to drive the cows home. And there were many such names of Lord Krishna, and this did something to me. As I heard the names of Lord Krishna, the different names, I thought about Krishna's pastimes, which were associated with the names. And since that time, I have noticed, in order to make my chanting a loving experience, something which connects with Lord Krishna, I have to think of him as he is. His qualities, his pastimes, his nature, and so to make a relationship. When I think of a friend like Burujan Prabhu, who sits next to me in the sacred dust of Vrindavan, I will think of some qualities, his graying hair. I will think, even if I'm in Germany, of his joyful spirit, who makes jokes, but who also comforts me when I'm feeling not so nice, who gives prasadam, who is affectionate, who is deep, and so on, and then I can think of him. So thinking of Lord Krishna also requires that we know some items to think of, some qualities, some activities which Krishna has done. So this Bhakti Rasayana Shloka does just that. If you study it a little bit, and we could not really study it, we could hopefully experience some verses, you will see that a sequence is given which really brings you masterfully from the material world to, first of all, a general appreciation of Lord Krishna, who is in the spiritual world, and then the verses will act to really draw you into the spiritual world by making you familiar with the clouds, the rivers, the different cranes and trees and creepers and so on. You're really pulled into the spiritual world. So I wanted to show you a few verses of the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas, and then in my attempts I wanted to help you in different ways to become a little deeper and to think deeply about Lord Krishna. That was really all. That is really a summary of what I was trying to do during this week. Now I want to give you a few points to take home. Yesterday, devotees had to already leave, and as they were leaving, they were crying. And I think you will also feel when you leave here, oh, that you have left a place which has become dear to you. Isn't it? This every morning we go here, just very naturally. We live, eat, sleep, question and answer in the sacred valley of Giriraj. It has become a little bit closer. You will see when you go on Braj Manda Parikram or Giriraj Parikrama and pass this Dharamshala and the trees, you will find how automatically your steps will make a right turn and you will like to enter again the sacred valley of Giriraj and sit under these trees. It has become more familiar. A relationship has been evoked by all these nice practices and free writing exercises where you explained your heart to Lord Giriraj and so on. And by yesterday's parikrama, a relationship has been made. But you will all leave the sacred valley. So if you do not want to leave it entirely, that is to cut the relationship which has been established, you will have to bring something from this valley which you can look at when you are in the distant corners of the world, like New Zealand. Ayan and his wife Hari Kirtan are from New Zealand. I come from the Northern Sea, the Northern Ocean. I will go back there. And Australia, of all places, and France, and Europe, and Switzerland with its tiny little narrow valleys, and so on. Yes, we will all go back there, and we need to take something from here, which will remind us. This principle worked very good with Marco Polo. He was a world explorer who draw charts of Asia in the medieval times, and he really saw a lot. He wrote diaries and so on. But also for him the time came to return back to Venice, his hometown in Italy. So after a few years, his memories of Asia, interesting philosophies, interesting people, everything waned down into a soup of unidentified memories. And he felt very bad, and he felt he needed to do something. So what he did after some time, to remain connected, he saw into his suit, or into his, wie sagt man, mantle, coat, some of these big jewels which he had found in Kazakhstan and the Ganga Valley and so on. And whenever Venice became too ordinary, too narrow, too conventional, too suffocating to his high-flying spirit, he just opened the coat and looked at the jewels and thought, I was there. I was in Kazakhstan. I was at the Ganga Valley. And with the jewels, many memories came which flooded his mind and which helped him to go above the soup of Venice life. So you also need to have some jewels which you bring with you from here and look from time to time on these jewels. Now, the first advice which I would like to offer you is something which I feel very, very strongly about. I want to encourage you to purchase a book. This book is called Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It is a work of Sanatan Goswami, which leads you as a reader into the understanding how wonderful Vraj is and how absolutely special the love to Krishna by the eternal residents of Vrindavan are. I personally think we all need this guide to understand that our Krishna will be, to make sure our Krishna will be Syama Sundar and not one distant Narayan form or incarnation of Lord Krishna. Please purchase Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and as you will see when you have read through all the chapters, you will at the end arrive at the Bhakti Rasayana Slokas. And you will be able to read the Bhakti Rasayana Slokas with a lot of taste and a deep understanding. This book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, will give your heart solace and it will connect you with the understanding of Braj Kishore or Kunja Kishore or Krishna, the playful lord of the groves of Vrindavan, who's really the Lord of love, the Lord of rasa, of loving exchange with his devotees. I want to, this is my first tip to you, a jewel to take with you. Another thing which I would request you is make photographs. I happen to be different than my dear neighbor here. I do not believe so much in the photo camera. The reason is because I'm most probably too foolish to handle it and find the right switch of the five different options which are there and so on. But in addition to this, I really believe in polishing and repairing the camera of the heart. I really think this is very, very important. So before you leave, use this camera, polish it, open your eyes, close your eyes, open the eyes, close your eyes, open the eyes, close your eyes. Soon the image will be in the heart. It's a very simple method. Click, 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 click. You may have to do it a superimposition a few times before it comes into the heart. And then remember this. As you're chanting, you can Vai chant in London or in Australia or where the Northern Sea is ruling the countries of the north of Europe. Why there? Why not in the sacred valley of Giriraj? Try this method, and you might like to use the help of photos, Kodak photos, or you I don't want to make an advertisement for any particular firm, but you know, this paper photos. You might like to use it, and so on. Also, you might like to take a little dust with you home from here. It is said persons who cannot stay in Vrindavan can stay in Vrindavan if they daily offer their obeisances to objects related to Vrindavan. Dust is the best object, which works very much. Or you can, an object which is related to Vrindavan, if you are more the internal type, is your internal photo gallery. With a photo of Giriraj. This is my next little advice. My third little advice is please take the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas, and I would recommend you to make a handy little book like this. This, maybe this is too difficult for you to make. I also, it's a gift, birthday gift for me, so I don't know how to do it. You can just put some holes into pages and put them into an order, this lights ordner or whatever. And then you have the verse there, and you collect points to the verses, and in this way you fill your memory of Krishna. Or if you are lazy to write anything down and really not so spiritually inclined or so deep or so urgently interested, somehow make your interest in Krishna more vivid. For instance, you can read the Nectar of Devotion and focus on the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna. You should not allow that when you hear the word Krishna, nothing comes to memory. Blank. Krishna, yes, that's what that's the word they say in the temple. Or that's part of this Hare Krishna mantra, which I foolishly promised to chant 16 rounds of daily. When you hear Krishna, your mind must be attracted with the qualities of Lord Krishna. Wow, Krishna, yes, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey, this must be, you must become absorbed, you must become a little bit attached, a little bit, you must enter the society of transcendental madmen. Haribo. Yes, lose your life in the lose your mind in the gullies of London, and bring your fresh mind into the Ganga flow of Krishna consciousness, remembering of Krishna. This is required. I'm sorry to always speak a little provocative, but what can we do? Hare Krishna. Let me summarize my summary. The Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas was offered as a help for you so that Krishna comes alive in your life by his activities and qualities. And the little advice from here is take something home from this retreat, I would recommend a book, Bhakti, or the photographs, internal or paper photographs, what you prefer. Take this home, this memory, and more important than anything, yes, make Krishna come alive in your life, and this you will do when you begin to chant inoffensive rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The first time where you can really meet Krishna is in his holy name. So approach the holy name with this humble prayer. Oh, my Lord, please make my attachments to you grow in heaps and bounds. I want to thank you very much. Please do not feel unfriendly towards me when I say sometimes something which appears to sound unfriendly. It is not meant like this. When I speak a little provocative, it's not with arrogance. It's really an attempt to wake us all up and to go to a deeper level. Here is now the next speaker, our Jagatarini. If you want me to say it, please, absolutely do not take a Giriraj Shila home unless and until you have spoken with your particular spiritual master. And don't talk, if he is present here with him now, about this, because this is too fast. You must first develop a relationship and so on, and not act out of momentaneous enthusiasm. It must be something really developed, and you must so on. The danger is if you take a Shila from here, or if you take anything too prematurely, you will not be able to sustain your enthusiasm, and in this way your relation will become even more distant than it is already, and by creating offenses and so on. But I don't think, to my knowledge, no one of you here is, I don't think they are thinking about this, but if you think about it, it's not proper. It must be done maybe properly. But on your question, should we take Giriraj with us? Absolutely! The photo of Giriraj in your heart, you must take that home. The sacred dust of Giriraj, the different realizations which you have here, you must take it home and never leave it. They should accompany you birth after birth until you are there in the spiritual world. Yes, Hare Krishna. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, jai jai Sri Radhe, jai jai Sri Radhe. Dinanath, oh Dinanath, jai jai Sri Radhe.
When I was asked to prepare something on the subject matter of what do we all poor souls do when we have to leave here and we have to go back to our destinations, and a few of us are fortunate enough to stay in the holy dharms, and so they will not be feeling the same kind of strickenness as those who are leaving. But I remember last year, I've already been through this once already, so I'm a little more composed than those who are experiencing it for the first time. So I was trying to think practically, not in a humorous way, but in a really real way, what was reasonable to suggest that will work for you when you leave here and you want to actually keep with you the impressions, the instructions, and the realizations that you've been able to more or less easily sustain in this atmosphere. But when you go back to the West, I know personally it's a whole different circumstance. So I was thinking that the image that came to my mind was a piece of cloth in a dye bath. If you take a white piece of cloth and you put it into a tub of black dye, when you pull it out, it's completely black. And it looks like the whole thing is finished. Now everything is very good. Have a black cloth. Everything is complete. So we have our realizations. But then, if you take that same black cloth, especially in India, and you put it into water, you'll discover that so much of that dye will run off into the water, and the water will become black, and you hold up the cloth again, and it's a pale shade of gray. And it's so disappointing, because just a moment before it was black, and now it's just this pale color, not very much darker than white. But then there's a solution to that. If you want to have fast color, that means not Indian, you know, if you buy a fabric from India, it always says made in India, it's to warn you. And they give you some nice, they say very tactfully, please wash this 3 times before you wear this, which means that all the color is going to come out. So if we want to be very thorough in our Krishna consciousness, we have to go through that process of washing. And the dye comes out, and the sadness that we feel when our black cloth becomes pale gray. But we also have to take that same piece of cloth, if we want to be thorough, and we have to re-immerse it in some further black dye. And then we have to do the same thing again, perhaps, and take it out and wash it and find out that now it's no longer white, it's not pale gray, but it's no longer black either. It's a darker shade of gray. And if one continues to do this, to put the cloth in the bath and take the austerity, the painful austerity of washing it out and finding out that it's not yet black, then gradually, step by step by step, you get a very fast color. If you want to take the other alternative, which is either to say, oh, well, I only actually needed pale gray, I like pale gray. What the heck anyway, pale gray is much better than black. Or if you want to say, which is the cheating of the mind, let me not wash it out. Because if I don't wash it out, it's black. And if I keep it black like this, then I can show everyone, see, I can feel myself, I have something black here, I've done everything so quickly, I'm so thorough. But the first time you go out in the rain, and there's a big rainstorm, and all over you will come this black dye, and everyone will know, oh, you hadn't completed the dyeing process. So we want to actually, there's no rush, so to speak, that the first one there is the best. We want to really actually achieve Krishna's lotus feet. It's not a time issue that it has to be done by this time. There is time involved, but that's to encourage us not to wait and put it off, because we have to stay here all that time. But that is not to make us also impatient or despondent when it will take some time for the process to be complete. The matter is that we have to just keep working and working and working steadily in that direction. And as one time, Srila Prabhupada in Australia, somebody was asking him a question, and as his part of his answer, he said that every time you say Krishna's name, Krishna, 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 he said, it's like putting pennies in the bank. And he said, if you keep putting pennies in the bank, pennies in the bank, pennies in the bank, by saying Krishna's name, he said, one day you will be a millionaire. So this was a question that we were all asked, would we like to become spiritual billionaires? And of course, many people were not sure if they wanted to become a material billionaire, because it would be terribly troublesome and so much envy would be there from others who didn't have as much as ourselves. But many hands went up when asked if they wanted to become a spiritual billionaire. So this is the way, put the pennies in the bank. And if you have the good fortune to be sitting here beside Giriraj, then you can put thousands and thousands of dollars in the bank all in one go, because Giriraj is giving so much, and we should put that all into the bank of becoming seriously and dedicatedly Krishna conscious. So when Maharaj was describing also the different things that you can take back with you, I have to admit, although I 100% agree on the superiority of the pictures taken with the mind and the heart, because they're always yours anywhere, on the bus, anywhere that you may want to remember. But I also know the power of the modes of material nature in those environments on most of us. And so I also have in my house many, many, many photographs as well. Especially near my bed, actually, because when I first wake up in the morning, I don't know if you experience this, but if you wake up a little, if you don't jump out of bed for Mangalati, if you wake a little slowly, you notice there's a time lapse when you first become conscious and you open your eyes. Before you open your eyes, but you've woken up, it's as if you haven't accepted yet the reality of the daydream. Srila Prabhupada explained that the night is a dream and the day is a dream. So as soon as we open our eyes, we interact with the world around us as who we are. We have to get busy and do this and do that and so many things. But there's a tiny little lapse of moment there before you open your eyes, whereby it's a very powerful time to pray, because you haven't yet accepted what's going to happen in the day and you're finished with what's happened in the night. So sometimes that moment is extremely powerful. And then when I open my eyes, I have a large picture of Giriraj, Radhakund, so many pictures, and Radhashyamasunda. And when I see those pictures, depending on my mood, I either jump out of bed, or if I'm feeling a bit disheartened, I lie there a little longer and say, help, 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 until I have the bearings to get up and to go through my day in a manner of consciousness that is more what I desire. So I was thinking that I would like to say that the bad times and the good times come for everyone in their life. The times when it's easy to focus our mind, easy to look at those pictures and they come to life. And then there are the times when it's very difficult to, and the mind somehow or other has been caught up in something or another that it feels is far more significant, far more real, far more overpowering than the attempt to remember Krishna. And at those times, we should cry out, as we have heard. And we can cry out for help. We can cry out to Shushi Gornitai, as we have heard. We can cry out to the holy name. We can cry out to Srila Prabhupada. Because if it weren't for Srila Prabhupada, not one of us would be here. None of us. Throughout the whole world, nobody would be coming to see Giriraj. They would have no idea. If they came here, they would pick up some rocks and do who knows what with the rocks. Take them and do anything. But only because of Srila Prabhupada we can even see Giriraj with our ears and with our minds and with our hearts and also with our eyes. So Srila Prabhupada is extremely protective. And he's always willing, especially as he explained one time, that the grandfather is far more affectionate than the father, because the father has a responsibility. He has to make sure that everything runs properly and he has to train his children. But the grandfather, he's not like that at all. His mentality and mood is quite different. His mood is to just pat them all on the head. Never mind, never mind, never mind, and give them sweets. And the father says, you're so bad, you've done something so bad, sit in the corner. And the grandfather, grandmother comes in and says, here, have a sweet. So Srila Prabhupada is like that. And we all know that wherever we are, Srila Prabhupada has gone there. So we have him with us in that way. And the last thing that came to my mind was that the verse that we sing every morning, Shri Radhika Madhavayora Para Madhuriya Leela Guna Rupa Nam Nam. So these four things, as we've heard, have to come together for us to have a complete experience of Krishna, his guna, his attributes, his qualities, what is he like, his leela, or the wonderful stories that we've been hearing by the side of Giriraj, his name, We have to chant his name, bringing these other things into our chanting. And the other one is his form, his rupa. So particularly easy for us, of any of them, if any of them, is his form. Because we can very, very easily come to the temple, in no matter whatever condition we're in, and we can see the beautiful form of the deity. So my recommendation is that whoever can, wherever you're going, take with you, at least if nothing else, if you have a visual mind, take a picture of Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundar. Because no matter who else you are worshipping, wherever you are, when you think of Giriraj and the beautiful pastimes, and you think of Krishna, when you go to think Krishna in Vrindavan, I've heard something about Krishna in Vrindavan, naturally the mind will go from here, where do we go next? We'll all end up back at the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So Krishna Balaram, Radhashyama Sundar, these are the forms, the beautiful forms that were given to us directly and importantly by Srila Prabhupada. So we should take them with us so that we can offer prayers to them in a particular mood. When we want to pray in a general way, we can pray whoever we pray to, whatever deity form or to whoever we pray. But when we want to remember Vrindavan, if we look at Radhashyama Sundar, Srimati Radharani, she's the most beautiful, most merciful personality here in Braj. So we can take them with us, and this can complete, kind of, you could say, like a circle of our remembrance. Pictures, images of Govardhan, chanting the holy name, hearing from Srila Prabhupada's books, and also remembering the beautiful form of Radhashyama Sundar here in Sri Braj Dham. And I'm sure that if we all do this to whatever degree we can, through our good times or through our bad times, that Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy and his great power, he will protect us and keep us on the path of sincere advancement in devotional service. And first and last, I would like to make the point that one should take that piece of cloth that is now only pale grey and is not as black as it looked once we were sitting here by Giriraj, and you should make some plan in your mind, even before you leave Vrindavan, about when you're going to come back and place that pale grey cloth back into the black dye bath so that you can keep increasing the density of the colour until you have a solid, non-running, non-shrinking, beautiful piece of black cloth. So I'd like to stop with that thought in mind, but please take whatever you can from Vrindavan and take it with you to the West and hold on to it as special memories given to us all here together in the valley of Giriraj. Thank you. Hari Bol. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Sham.
If the cows come, you go. But you know what you have to do? You have to find a center. That's what you lack in your photograph. You have, who's the center? What's the center in your photography? Not in your life, in the photography. Who's the central figure? Om Agyanatimirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksu Samilitan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sabandantikam Vancha Kalpa Tuvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayi Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishabhyo Namo Namah. In 1974, I was living in Melbourne and living outside the temple And in those days, the Krishna consciousness movement was very black and white, in the sense that if you were living inside the temple, you were a devotee, and you were living outside the if you were living outside,
what's that word?
Demon, I think it was. Now it's different. I have to admit that I was a bit of a demon, but but in any case, when Prabhupada visited in 1974, visited Melbourne, he was speaking about knowing what the spiritual master wanted, what he wanted. And I said, Prabhupada, I think that I'm not really sure about what you want from me. And Prabhupada began to tell a story. First he chastised me, and then he began to tell a story. He told a story about a yogi on Diwali. On Dilawali, Deepawali, they place lamps on tall pillars, on tall sticks all over. So there was a yogi who was staying and practicing in a country area, and a very, very wealthy man came by with his entourage. And this wealthy man saw the yogi, and he said, "What have you learned? What can you do? What powers have you received through your practice of yoga?" And the yogi replied that although it's quite cold, I can stay immersed in the water, in the cold of the water all night long. And the man said, okay. The wealthy man said, if you can do this, I'll give you so much amount of money if you perform in this way. So that night, the yogi stayed all night in the cold water, and in the next day, he approached the man to get his reward. But the man didn't want to give it to him. So he had an advisor, and he said, how can I escape from my promise to give this man the money, this yogi the money? And the advisor said, after thinking a little while, he thought of a very clever thing to say, and he said, did you notice that there was a lamp burning on the stick, on the bamboo stick? That yogi, he cheated. Although he was in the water, he was taking the heat from the lamp. And by that lamp, the heat from that lamp over there, he was keeping warm. And he cheated. You don't have to give him any money. So the yogi, the poor yogi who had performed that austerity, he came and the man said, no, you were cheating because you were taking, the wealthy man said, you were taking the heat from the lamp. This was Prabhupada telling me this story. And the yogi felt very bad. He was very, very, very poor. So there was a very honest advisor of this wealthy man, and he told the yogi, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. So that wealthy man had to leave early in the morning, and he was happy to leave because he wanted to get away from this embarrassing situation where he basically cheated. And that good advisor said, I'm just going to cook some rice, and then we can leave. So they were going to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning. But he sent his messengers, the rice cooked? No, the rice is still cooking. At 8 o'clock, he sent the messenger again, is the rice cooked? No, the rice is still cooking. At 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, the rice was still cooking. So that very wealthy man came to his good advisor. He was very upset. We wanted to leave so many hours ago, and every time I say a messenger, the rice is not cooking. What kind of rice are you cooking, after all? How are you cooking this? And then
the king or the wealthy man saw that the good advisor had a little flame over here, and on three long sticks of bamboo, he put the rice way up on top, holding down, this hanging down. So the wealthy man was so angry because he had wasted his whole day, and he said, "You fool! How can you expect the rice to cook when it is so far from the fire, you rascal?" And the good advisor replied, "Well, if the yogi could get the heat from so far away, and that's what he used to warm him, then I thought certainly the rice would cook from that flame, because it's not anywhere as far away as that lamp was for the yogi." And the wealthy man could then understand that he had been caught, and he gave the yogi the money. So Prabhupada laughed, and he said, "Just see," pointing to me, "just see. I was living outside the temple. And of course, I didn't want to move into the temple for many reasons, there were many reasons at that time. It was a particular time in my life. And I was, oh no, what is Prabhupada telling me that I have to move into the temple?" And he laughed and he said to me, but I wasn't laughing at all. He said, "You can go on cooking for hundreds and hundreds of years with the smoke. Be satisfied with the smoke, but it will not get cooked." And I never remembered that conversation very happily and favorably. Then, within the last few months, while I was in Vrindavan, I was listening, because I listened to Prabhupada's tapes a lot, and I heard that conversation. And when I heard the following conversation took place with His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, took place in Melbourne in 1974, and I heard the beginning of that conversation, oh, I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to go through all this again. But I listened very carefully, and finally, after 27 years, I understood what Prabhupada was actually telling me. Because I'm a bit slow, unfortunately. But I understood what he was actually telling me. And what he was telling me was about absorption in Krishna consciousness. If you want to live outside the temple, he wasn't actually making a statement about living outside the temple or inside the temple, but he was making a statement about absorption in Krishna consciousness. If you want to be satisfied chanting 16 rounds a day, which I was doing, and the rest of the day be absorbed in all kinds of other things, be satisfied with the smoke and the slight heat of having the fire of absorption in Krishna consciousness very far away from you. It will take many, many births in that way. The rice of your Krishna consciousness will take many births to get cooked. And the facility of a living in a temple, he was explaining, that there's no other business going on. This is what temples should be. Tandera charana sevi bhakti sanivas janame janame hoy eyavilas. The business of the temples is to provide the facility of association. And what does association mean? It means always service and always associating with the process of hearing and chanting, because that is association. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's what it means to be a devotee, to be absorbed always in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So if you want, Prabhupada was telling me, to be satisfied with the smoke that comes also from a fire and not get your rice of Krishna consciousness cooked, then you be satisfied with that. But that is actually not, it will not actually perform the function that the fire is supposed to perform, and that is to cook the rice quickly, efficiently. Which means that if we want to become, if we want to actually be situated in Goloka Vrindavan, in Govardhan, at Govardhan, in the service of Krishna consciousness, if that's what we want, there is no other way other than to become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Yes, we can mix everything within our Krishna consciousness and cook our rice from 3 miles away and be satisfied with the smoke. We can chant our rounds, as I admit, unfortunately, that I do with my mind wandering all over the universe, the past, the present, the future, but very carefully keeping away from thinking of Krishna's names and Krishna's pastimes and etc., then it will take a very, very long time. And tasting some of the sweetness that Giriraj is bestowing, the sweetness flowing from Giriraj, who wants it to take a long time? So I thought this was very much, and as Maharaj explained, and the first thing that he explained, this was very much the message that Sachinanda Maharaj was giving us. And in his summary, this was the first thing he said. It's a question of absorption. Absorption. Absorption in Krishna consciousness. And according to how quickly we get absorbed in the fire of Krishna consciousness, then to that degree, the rice of our Krishna consciousness will become cooked and ready to offer to Krishna. Yes? Yes? So then the question is, what can we take with us? So when I wrote down what I would like all the devotees take with them, and of course myself as well, the first thing that I thought of is piteously, that we should chant piteously. We should chant Krishna's names, seeing the fault, the inconsistencies, the insincerities in our position, and cry out for mercy like a baby crying for mother. Raise your hand if all those who are mothers who have children, raise your hand. When the babies really cry, there is something very mystical in their cry, when they really mean it, especially you hear when they're in danger. There is a kind of whining cry that you ignore and give them something just to distract them. But when they really are crying, when they really want their mother, the mother immediately, against the will even, drops everything and comes. So when we cry like that, when we really mean it, when we really want Krishna, mother will come. And who is mother? In this analogy, who? It's not Mother Krishna. It's Mother Srimati Radharani, Mother Hara. That is Srimati Radharani. By her mercy, she will come. So cry, chant piteously. And to keep us in that mood, to advance step by step or very, very quickly towards that, we should take association, because that is the key. Sarva shastra koi, lava matra sarusangi, sarva siddhi hoi. This is the conclusion, that all perfection comes from association. Satam prasangam mama viryasam vado bhavanti ritkana rasayanaha kata bhakti rasana. The medicine that will cure our material disease emanates from the mouth of the devotees, because the mouth is connected to the heart. And it enters ritkana, through the ear into our hearts, that medicine will act very effectively. Samvido, conversing with the devotees by hearing them. So we should associate very prayerfully with Srila Prabhupada through his books, by reading. And it's not actually a difficult thing, considering how much time we waste every day taking 15 minutes, 20 minutes, up to an hour. But 15 minutes really isn't hard. The hard thing to find is the mind, not the time. So take some time, a little extra time, to get into the right mental space. Then humbly approach Prabhupada through his books and ask for some instructions. And you can choose the parts you read from. I sometimes move around. Chaitanya Charitamrita, I really like for this purpose. And prayerfully read. And don't try to read a lot. Not that you can't read a lot, but don't make that your goal. Just enter deeply. Get something deep and stay with that until it deepens still further. Repeat it again and again. One sentence even, until you practically memorize it, so it enters so deeply within the heart. Then you can have it. It's yours. And then what will make it even increase? Just look at these trees. Look how their roots are gripping so tightly. How deep they have to go because they want nourishment. The nourishment of the water. Actually, they're holding on so tightly to Giriraj. The goat herdsmen, they will cut their arms to feed them to their animals. But the trees tolerate that because they know if they can get the roots, their roots are so deep. They're so old, these trees. Their roots are deep, and from those deep roots they're getting their nourishment, and that's where they're holding on so tightly. So we have to go deeply, deeply, deeply. With our roots, our realizations have to be deepened. So don't even try to become vast in learning, but try to know something very deeply. And if every day we can get some one thing deeply, very quickly we'll be vast also, like a vast banyan tree that has its roots and branches spreading everywhere. And then to still deepen it further. So take shelter, read prayerfully every day. So every day we'll get deeper and deeper and acquire one jewel after another, to change the metaphor. And then to make it still go deeper, speak it. Speak the depths that you have realized. Share your heart. Preaching is very simple, actually. We talk about preaching. And so there are so many schemes how to increase the preaching, and maybe they're practical, but the most practical thing is for the devotees to be speaking. That's really what it is. Because preaching is simply to give, when a devotee gives his association to another. That's all that preaching is, really. Because a devotee has his jewels of spiritual realizations, which are not of this world. They are from the Goloka, Vrindavan. And when he opens his heart and shares, that is what preaching is. And that touches another person's heart, not the external arrangements. The external arrangements are to facilitate this only. They are not an end in themselves. They are to facilitate the opening of the heart of one devotee and his touching the heart of another. So associate, preach, and associate with friends and devotees and family members, and share the jewels in the heart. Either do it in a structured way or an unstructured way, but do that. And in addition, we should try to apply to our lives that which
mercy which we are given by association with Prabhupada through his books. Become absorbed. Let's not cook from 3 miles away. We can be satisfied with the smoke, but then we'll stay distant from Sri Vrindavan Dham. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai.